Dear Divine Feminine, we've stolen and suppressed your light far too long. Please forgive us, but it's time now to rise up. Over the last 26,500-year cycle, the religious political programming programmed us to suppress you and to intentionally delete the truth of the Divine Feminine. But the truth will set us free. You were never meant to fit inside of this system that we created from the statistical left-sided masculine reptilian brain. The need for greed leads to more need. Because your DNA doesn't come from this system. Your DNA comes from a lineage of powerful, living, sensual, eternal women who once held and still hold the codes of Earth's original divine design, the Divine Mother. And the pain you feel and have felt is what happens when you wake up your cosmic blueprint and DNA memory inside of a collapsed system that didn't have the capacity to hold the depth of your soul and the wisdom. We all come from a womb, man. And behind every great man, it lies a greater woman. But your womb, it's not just for babies. It's a multi-dimensional gateway. And every time you bleed, birth, or breathe with intention, you repair Mother Earth's grids, because the two are intimately connected. How we treat our woman is how we treat Mother Earth. And for too long, Mother Earth, we've raped her, but now she's giving birth, new earth, and it's time. Divine Feminine within us all, you are what was prophesied to rise so that we can come back into balance. And a woman who remembers with an open heart is the most powerful force on this planet. Watch out. Divine Feminine, rise up now. It's time to sit on your throne now. Been stealing your light far too long now. Pachamama crying out now. Divine Feminine, rise up. It's your time to shine.
Back in 2012, a lot of people were saying that the world was going to end. And although it appears that it continued to go on, I can tell you from personal experience, my world ended and a whole new world began. And I believe a lot of people of light can testify to what I'm talking about. Now, during this time, before 2012, I was a devout Christian. And I remember at that time, I asked the spirit, I asked God, what I thought was God at that time. I said, I wanted a 100-fold walk. I wanted to know the truth. I wanted to have power like what they said Christ had. When I asked for this, my whole life flipped upside down and inside out. I began to see all types of things. I was given a lot of different types of information. Things that literally deconstructed everything that I thought was true.
The things I was taught as a Christian woman growing up kept me in unhealthy relationships with men. I was taught to be compassionate no matter what, which made me tolerate bad behavior that harmed me. I was taught to forgive endlessly, which never requires your partner to change or take accountability. I was taught to be faithful and loyal, which means don't leave even if it's unhealthy. I was taught to be his peace, which meant regulate his emotions at the cost of your own. And I was taught to stay and fight for the relationship, which means you're going to have to abandon yourself in order to keep this relationship. And none of that is love. It's self-erasure dressed up as virtue. Women were not actually taught love. We were taught endurance. You're a great woman if you can make it to 30, 40, 50 years in marriage. But in an unhealthy relationship, that's a prison sentence. So in actuality, I was taught to override my instincts and not trust my judgment or my gut. I was taught to rationalize their harm on me and give them grace. I developed toxic empathy, where you believe that if you can understand their intentions, then that negates their impact on you. And I became over-responsible for everyone else's emotions. And if I left the marriage, I was sinning, a failure, or I just lacked faith. So I never asked myself, is this relationship healthy for me? I asked myself, am I showing up loving enough to fix him? Because that's what I was taught to do. And I realized that God would never want you to be in an unhealthy relationship. And I stopped looking at their intentions and started looking at their impact and their behavior. And I decided that I will no longer be in a relationship where I do not feel consistently physically and emotionally safe, where I did not feel respected, and where I did not feel consistent peace in my body with my partner. I decided to stop abandoning myself because love should feel like peace and not survival.
But one of the most profound things that the Spirit revealed to me is that we are already in hell. Now, this just completely threw me for a loop, because we were taught that you don't go to hell until the physical body dies. And then if you're sinful, you end up in hell. And if you follow Christ, you end up in heaven. I was told this is hell. And from that point on, I began to see all of the evidence to prove that what the Spirit told me is in fact the truth. I even channeled it. I ended up making a video that I put out there on YouTube. I also did some articles, and I think I even did a podcast about how we're actually already living in hell. Well, as fate would have it, Spirit never stopped speaking. And recently I came across this show that's called Dates from Hell. And this show has been so intriguing because it proves everything the Spirit warned me about back in 2012, about this reality. Ladies, we're at a very pivotal point in our timelines right now. The patriarchy is being destroyed. Men are spiraling out of control. Marriages are breaking up. And I'm not talking about people who've been married a year or two. I'm talking about 20, 30 year marriages are falling apart. The reason why is because the divine feminine energy has returned and the patriarchy is going to be dismantled and it's going to be destroyed as the rightful rulers take their place on the throne. Because this is happening at this moment in time, you're going to start seeing all types of violence, just senseless violence, coming from these men who've been benefiting from the patriarchy.
On April 8th, my daughter was harassed, and her friend were assaulted by 6 teenage boys that go to Central High School.
I'm actually tired of news outlets like this one framing Gen Z men as becoming the most traditional of all the generations. This isn't traditional. They are becoming rapidly the most violent, aggressive, and hateful towards women. Sure, almost a quarter of them surveyed said that they don't believe women should appear too independent and self-sufficient as compared to 12% of baby boomer men. But 6 teenage boys violently attacking a girl and her guy friend who, God bless him, was trying to help her. On the way home from school, simply because she didn't even react to their harassment of her and was just trying to make it home safe.
Ladies, we must protect ourselves. You need to be armed. If you don't have a firearm, a rifle, a pistol, a handgun, you better get one. And I mean, like, today, after you hear this podcast, you need to go get one. You need to get you some bullets and you better learn how to use it. Because men are physically stronger than you. And it's very easy for them to overpower you. I know a lot of us think that, well, if we get a smart man, if we do background checks, if we do this, if we do that, it doesn't matter. And we're going to start listening and going deep and dissecting some of these experiences that other women have had, which are increasing as I speak. I'm going to let you listen to some of these dates, and then we're going to take the time to dissect them and figure out what the person could have possibly done different. And sometimes, quite frankly, the woman did everything right except had a handgun. That's about the only other thing she could have had was an accessible handgun. I suggest you keep it on your person so it's easily accessible, or have one in your car. You know, when you're going out to meet these men, do not let them come to your home. Do not let them know what type of car you drive, because now with all this tech, they will put trackers in your vehicles. They will follow you home. Be careful what you post on social media. People are stalkers. They will stalk you. They will figure out where you work at. Don't tell anybody where you work at. Don't give people your address. If someone pops up at your house in the middle of the night, do not answer the door. If someone is moving too fast with you and they're trying to kiss you on a first date, leave them alone. Be very, very vigilant. Pay attention. Some of these men are seriously predators because they're literally demons wrapped in flesh because, again, you're in hell. So a lot of the people that you encounter are not what you think they are. And they will watch you. They will follow you. They will study you. They will be the sweetest thing that you ever wanted. And they'll tell you, aren't I everything you wish for? Because these demons are following. They're watching. They're studying. And they're waiting for a moment to get you by yourself. And they want to abuse you and misuse you. They want to humiliate you. I remember I did a podcast about how marriage is a humiliation ritual. And that's what they want. They want to keep you under their foot. And right now, again, the patriarchy is being destroyed.
It's a hot summer evening in suburban Cincinnati. Love is in the air for single mother Jennifer Miller and her new suitor, Robin Chester. Tonight's date is a special occasion, a new test in their budding relationship.
Since it was my birthday, he had asked me what I wanted to do. I told him he could just take me to dinner.
Thank you so much.
Lee, you deserve something special. It's your birthday.
Thank you. That's sweet.
I wasn't really expecting anything too lavish or grand from him because, I mean, it had been exactly 4 weeks that I met him.
So far, he seems like a real catch. When Jennifer met Robin, she wasn't really looking for Mr. Reich.
All right, me and my girlfriend just went to a local bar. And we started playing cards, and we caught out to the bar. Just like, hey, does anybody want to play spades with us? And this guy, Robin, said that he would play.
I found someone,
Hi. I thought he was attractive. I looked at my girlfriend, and I'm kind of waiting to see, like, get that eye, you know, from your girl. She kind of gave me the nod, and I was like, okay. He was just telling me that he was a student. He was interested in social work and helping kids. And I have a really soft spot for helping people. So that kind of struck me as like a really positive thing.
But in the singles game, you never know when you get dealt a bad hand.
He probably did not disclose to her his troubled past.
When you're starting out in a relationship, you want to find out everything you can about this person before actually committing yourself into a full-blown relationship.
I'm very cautious. Being a single mom, I check their background just to see like if they've had any involvement in anything. You just don't know these days what somebody's done. I looked into it. I found it, like where he had driven under intoxication. I think that kind of made me a little skeptical. I definitely wasn't ready to get into a relationship.
At least not yet.
And so I wanted to see how he took to my kids. I'm just looking for subtle clues that say that they're okay with him and he's okay with them. I think that that tells you a lot about how they would treat you.
Perhaps Robin might make a good stepdad. And on her birthday, he's acting like a perfect gentleman, all the way to her favorite restaurant. She likes the way things are going, but knows it's still too early to tell.
You never really know somebody as much as you think that you do. If you're lucky, you may know 50% of a person. It took some time for me to feel safe. You definitely have to be careful. You don't want to get too close.
Get too close? There's a chance you'll get burned. The night is still young. Plenty of time to get into trouble.
Okay, you're good. Thank you.
Is it crowded in there?
I don't know.
Let's see. Yeah, it looks crowded. Let's go.
And we are.
Thank you.
All of her friends have come out to celebrate her birthday.
It was
was cool, especially because it was VIP. It was definitely the place to be.
It could be one of Jennifer's best dates. She has her cake and eats it too.
Of course, people were drinking.
Anytime that you involve alcohol, there's always the possibility of a fight.
Everybody had such a good time.
Long after the birthday celebration is over, the romance is still burning strong. On this night, Jennifer's kids are at Grandma's.
I'll be right back.
And he went back to the bedroom, and he closed the door.
The night's about to take a chilling turn.
Sort of like Forrest Gump's box of chocolates. You just never know what you're gonna get.
I remember hearing him come out of the bedroom.
Did you poison me with battery acid?
What?
Why'd you poison me with battery acid?
Are you joking? What are you talking about?
I'm kind of like laughing, like, are you kidding me? Battery acid? Where do you even get battery acid from? I just flaked it off, and I didn't really think anything of it.
It's not making any sense to Jennifer at all.
Are you okay?
I thought, okay, well, he's just messing with me. I didn't have alarms going off.
But she soon will.
The next thing I knew, he was in the kitchen, and I didn't really pay attention to what he was doing.
Robin was standing over top of her.
You poisoned me with battery acid!
And I look up from my computer, and he has a meat cleaver in his hand. And I'm like, what are you doing? It was out of left field. There was no forewarning.
You're gonna die with me tonight. You poisoned me with battery acid?
The relationship up until this point, I've never felt threatened.
Robin was an all-around nice guy. There was nothing that led anyone to believe that he had this monster hidden inside of him.
My first reaction is, if you think that I poisoned you, let's call 911.
I can call someone to help you.
He got to the brink where he raised it and he swung. And it chopped through my left hand. And it entered on my pinky side and went all the way through to my index finger. So there was about an inch wide gap. That was probably one of the most horrific things I've seen in my lifetime. I'm in shock. I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe he really just cut me. I can't believe my hand's hanging off.
Oh my God!
That's the point that everything changed.
Chop your head off, you understand?
And I thought if he does one cut,
you scream once.
He wouldn't want me alive to say that he did this to me. He's gonna have to kill me.
He collected the house phone and the cell phones and he hid them from her. Robin went and locked the door up, telling her that she was not leaving. So really, Jennifer felt that she did not have the liberty to leave.
You say one word. You understand me? You scream one more time. We're gonna die tonight. You understand me?
I couldn't just get up and leave because he kept the meat cleaver to my neck. He would kind of put it there and like grind it against the skin.
Here's this guy that she loves taunting her with a meat cleaver.
It was like looking at somebody that you didn't even know. It's like you're looking at the devil. Look, you know, at Satan. Just shelled out eye with no soul.
Don't you dare scream, I'll chop your head off. You understand me?
He became very erratic. Started filling up Tupperware with scalding hot water.
This is like the hottest that your tap water will get. He's convinced that the water is the poison. He's telling me by him pouring it down my throat, he's thinking that I'm drinking this poison that I poisoned him with.
Oh my God!
When the supposed battery acid has no effect, Robin really loses it.
You put that inside of me, right? You better shut your mouth.
He grabbed some gin and he was pouring that down my throat. my gag reflex was kicking in.
You spit at me?
And he thought that I was spitting it out.
You think it's funny?
That aggravated him.
And this is one day you don't want to aggravate. Because he's moving in for the kill. Jennifer Miller never imagined how, after an exhilarating date, her boyfriend, Robin Chester, would turn into a homicidal maniac.
Chop your head off, you understand? You scream once.
He just becomes more enraged.
Say one word. You understand me?
Doesn't seem to be sympathetic, continues to make the comments that he is going to kill her.
You understand me? But tell me what you did today.
And chopped my left elbow in half.
Oh my God!
It was excruciating.
Jennifer's will to live hangs on one overpowering emotion.
I couldn't bear the thought of my kids walking up to my casket. For them to lose me, like the only, you know, constant parent that they had, that was unbearable.
You poison me, I poison you. I should chop your head off right now. You poison me, I poison you, right?
At that point, it was about 4:15 in the morning, and I think that he was realizing that people would be starting to get up for work. He just swung. The third strike, he cut through my left shoulder, and it was all the way through to the bone.
Oh my God!
At that point, I realized I didn't have any arm left to protect myself, so I knew the next thing was my neck or my face. And I think he was just ready to finish the job.
Then, something inside her clicks.
I'm gonna die if I don't get out of here. That's when I prayed. Dear God, you know, I need a way out of here. I don't want to die tonight. You know, I've got 3 kids and they need me.
You poisoned me!
It was within minutes. He went into the kitchen. That was it. God gave me the answer that I was looking for. I ran. I bolted.
Her butcher isn't far behind.
I'm like, hey, he's trying to kill me. Can you help me? Please call the police.
But her getaway seems futile.
And I feel him come behind me and just pounded me over and over. And you can feel your body go forward as it hits. As nobody's answering the door, I'm losing hope.
He's pulling her hair out. She's bleeding heavily at this point. She's leaving this blood trail behind her. She's still trying to block the blows with this meat cleaver with her forearm.
So I remember having to do a fox crawl so that I could get back up off my feet to get up the stairs.
Jennifer has one last burst of adrenaline. One final chance for survival.
I just continue knocking on doors.
And finally, the neighbor that lives in that apartment, he repeatedly heard the female screaming for help.
And there was somebody there. The handle was jingling. It was like an angel sent from heaven.
I promise you're gonna be all right. Hi, I have a woman here covered in blood. Get somebody here as soon as possible. It's gonna be okay. The cops are on their way.
But she's not out of the woods yet. Her madman's still on the prowl.
It's a very real possibility that he could kick in the door to continue after Jennifer.
It's a night to remember for all the wrong reasons.
You understand me?
I've got to do something or I'm going to die tonight.
Now Jennifer Miller realizes her one final chance to escape might be a dead end.
Oh my God!
Police!
Oh my gosh. You need medic, you're stat.
He was like, where is the ambulance? This girl needs to get to the hospital now, like, now.
She was starting to black out.
But first responders are delayed. Too busy dealing with another patient.
The ambulance had stopped to see if Robbie was okay instead of tending to me.
Oh my God! She poisoned me. She poisoned me with battery acid.
Robin was trying to act like he was the victim, explaining that Jennifer had thrown battery acid on him, that Jennifer had retrieved a knife from the kitchen block and was trying to attack him with it.
Here's a fellow that's covered with blood and claiming that he had just been poisoned by Ms. Miller.
She put battery acid inside. What's the blood? Check my blood, please.
But a blood test tells doctors Robin has a warped sense of reality.
There was nothing that led them to believe that he had been poisoned. And it was determined that not only did he have alcohol in his system, but they also found a large amount of cocaine in his system.
Anytime you inject drugs into a relationship, you are playing Russian roulette.
Be right back.
With the consequences.
They assume that he took the cocaine with some kind of courage to give him the power or the nerve to be able to do what he did.
No, it wasn't me. She poisoned me with battery acid.
There is no doubt in my mind that this young man had a psychotic reaction. He became detached from reality.
Jennifer had no idea that Robin may have had some paranoia, schizophrenic levels. He was also bipolar. But this is nothing that's discussed between two people that are dating. It was not until we actually found Jennifer that we knew who the true victim was. The blood that we thought was Robin Chester's blood on his body was actually the blood of Jennifer Miller.
EMTs get to her in the nick of time, but Jennifer's in bad shape.
I remember them strapping me onto a gurney and they're trying to put bandages on a lot of my open wounds. And they wheeled me outside and they put me in the ambulance.
What's your name? Can you talk?
What's your name?
They were kind of asking me, like, what religion I was. And
Stay with us.
They're kind of prepping me that for the chance that I might not make it.
What's your name?
I just looked at them and said, hey, I didn't live through all this, and I didn't fight like this for you to tell me that I'm going to die.
Jennifer endures 9.5 hours of surgery to patch up 35 disfiguring gashes.
I had 3 teams working on me for all my skull injuries and my back. And then I had a hand specialist team working on both my hands. And then I had plastic surgeon working on my face. And it was a little under 2,000 staples, stitches, pins. They said that because the knife was a meat cleaver, all my cuts were really clean. They were able to reattach my left hand. So everything was repaired really nicely.
As for Robin,
he ultimately pled guilty as charged to attempted murder.
Robin Chester is sentenced to the maximum in Ohio, 10 years in prison.
I don't think 10 years is enough. I understand that that's the law in Ohio. This will carry with me for forever. I'll forever have the scars. Like, literally, I have to look at it every day. And the fact that he's going to get out in 10 years and still be in the prime of his life and be able to have a shot to do this to somebody else is not settling for me.
Now, in the show you just listened to, this one, the lady did try to do her research. She did try to look this man up prior to going out with him. She bought him around her kids, but that's just a huge no-no. Never let these beasts meet your children. Some women think that if they meet the kids, then they can kind of assess if they're good with children. When you're dealing with demons, they will pretend, they mimic, they study you, they shadow you. They'll let you speak first, and then they're going to piggyback off of whatever you tell them. Going around your children is very dangerous because a lot of these men are attracted to children. And today you have a lot of them who are homosexual. So if they know you got little boys or you got little girls, and all of a sudden they're going to really begin to pursue you because they want access to your kids. So it's better for you never let them meet your children. I used to be the one that wanted to date in order to marry. Well, like I told you, now that I know the truth, and now that I figured out we're living in a hellish realm, I ain't trying to marry nobody else. It took me 22 years to get out the marriage I was in. I'm not going into another 22-year life sentence, because that's basically what you're doing as a female. You're literally putting yourself into bondage and servitude. So if you just want to continue to date and you want to go out with these men, you better take my advice. Don't let them know where you live at. This lady had this man in her apartment. They went back there at night and he flipped out. Many of them are on drugs. In this case, this man was on cocaine and he was drinking a lot of liquor. And a lot of men love to do that. They love to do all types of drugs. Now they got this cannabis, this legalized stuff, these gummies, this honey, all this stuff. That stuff alters their mind. And what happens is the human part of them goes down and the demon that's inhabiting that body gets stronger. It also opens them up to other disembodied spirits that will let those spirits come in and they get even worse. So definitely, if you notice somebody's into liquor, into any kind of drugs, hallucinogens, stay the hell away from them, because men are physically stronger than you. She should have had a firearm. In this situation, I would not have, number one, had him at my house. Don't go to his house. If you want to go out with these men, you better meet them in a public place. You better let somebody know where you're meeting them at, preferably during the day in a crowded place. Do not go anywhere with these men by yourself. And as we begin to listen to more of these videos, it's going to become blatantly obvious to you of why you should not be in secluded places alone with men. Everything that they taught you back in the 90s, the 80s, the 70s, even the early 2000s about dating, you're going to have to throw it all out the window. Because, again, after 2012, that world ended. You're in a whole new reality, baby. And these men today are straight up crazy. They got all this red pill content out there, bashing women, telling them that they're better than you, that they want to rewind time and put women back in servitude. They don't want you to have access to bank accounts. They don't want you to have jobs. They don't want you to do all these things because women are becoming more and more empowered. And the reason why, again, is because the patriarchy is being dismantled. During this time, it's very important, ladies, that we protect ourselves by any means necessary. When you get that handgun, you want to go to the gun range, learn how to use it, keep it handy, keep your little bullets and things on you. Even when you're out walking in the park and stuff like that, have a handgun on you, because these men are lurking. These ninjas are everywhere and you don't know who's watching you. And they think that if you are attractive and you got a nice shape and God forbid you got on some tight clothes, that's an invitation for them to come and just have their way with you. So you better have some protection on you. And when you shoot, shoot between the legs. Go for the family jewels. Why do I say that? Because that's going to put them on their back. They're not going to be able to continue to fight. They can't chase you because they're going to be in too much pain. Leave them there to bleed out. Call 911. Tell them where you left that monster at and move on with your life. Again, the main rules we got here, I want to reiterate from this first lesson. Number one, don't give out your address. Number two, don't tell these monsters where you work at. Number three, don't go to any isolated areas by yourself. Number four, don't let them come around your kids if you have children, especially unsupervised. Number five, stay strapped and aim for the family jewels.
Beat you down a lot when you come around the block. dry your eyes, never let up. Forgive, but don't forget, girl, keep your head up. And when he tells you you ain't nothing, don't believe him. And if you can't learn to love you, you should leave him. Cause sister, you don't need him. And I ain't trying to gas you up, I just call him how I see. You know what makes me unhappy? That when brothers make babies and leave a young mother to be a hack. And since we all came from a woman, got our name from a woman, and I came from a woman, I wonder why we take from our women, why we rape our women, do we hate our women? I think it's time to kill for our women, time to heal our women, be real to our women. And if we don't, we'll have a race of babies that will hate the ladies that make the babies. And since a man can't make one, he has no right to tell a woman when and where to create one. So will the real men get up? I know you're fed up, ladies, but keep your head up.
Radio station in the world.
In the world.
Is right here. Right now.
The Golden Race. Conscious radio for the conscious community.